How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day they settled in this land till now.
For those familiar with this extract from the book of Exodus, the plague of locusts that descended upon parts of India and Pakistan in 2020 holds terrifying prospects. The similarities with the events in the biblical story of Moses are particularly ominous. But in this episode of Angry Earth, we will attempt to get to the bottom of this extraordinary event and dispel all the myths and the fear. This is Sattaki at Earshot, taking you through the science and the facts on Angry Earth, Plague of Locusts. We once again have with us Ms. Bharti Chaturvedi, renowned environmentalist and founder of environmental research and action group Chintan, and Dr. Roxy Matthew Cole, climate scientist at the Indian Institute of Tropical Meteorology. Hello, Ms. Chaturvedi. Thank you for joining us again. Hope you're doing well.
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for inviting me here.
So in the last episode, we spoke about the cyclonic anomalies we saw this year due to the increase in the temperature of oceans. This time, we discussed the biblical plague of locusts we witnessed in India, Pakistan, Nepal, and more. Could you tell us how this incident came to be, and how does it connect to the larger environmental crisis?
Well, it's quite complicated because, as you know, locusts, these swarms are known to happen. But what really happens with climate changes, a locust is a kind of grasshopper, and it kind of stays. It's a solitary animal. In fact, locusts tend to repel each other through this dry period. But when you suddenly have, a rainfall or extreme moisture, which is typically a rainfall, then what happens is that these animals turn, these grasshoppers just completely turn into another kind of thing completely, which means that they turn into very sociable swarms, and they become these giant dark clouds. They've already gone to 41 districts in India. So they transform into new kinds of things. So how that really happens is when suddenly you have a very dry place, suddenly gets this a very wet kind of event. And one of the reasons that they say this is happening is because the Indian Ocean is warming, and we know that oceans are warming because of climate change. We often have talked about the rise in sea levels and how that's going to flood a large part of the world. What we haven't thought about and we don't really focus on is how that changes things far away from oceans. And that is exactly the case in India. Rajasthan is very far away from the ocean. So is Madhya Pradesh. So is Uttar Pradesh. But in fact, they've all experienced locusts. Even, Gurgaon, which is very urban and in Haryana, has seen locusts fly through briefly. So what goes wrong is that this kind of warming of the ocean creates the condition for locusts to actually come together and then turn into a swarm, and that's called a locust plague. But it actually has really severe repercussions.
Absolutely. And the conditions that led to this plague have been accumulating over the last few years, with the heating up of the oceans once again in the center of it all. Hello, Dr. Cole. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sattaki. It's a pleasure to talk with you on global environmental matters and how it impacts India.
The pleasure is ours. Could you tell us a little more about how these conditions worsened over the years? And could you also take us through how the rise in ocean temperatures contributed to this?
The locust outbreak started after warm waters in the Western Indian Ocean that fueled storms and substantial amounts of rain over East Africa and Arabian Peninsula in 2018 and then again in 2019. Generally, so if you look at East Africa, it is next to the Western Indian Ocean, right? And generally, the Western Indian Ocean is cooler than rest of the Indian Ocean. The rest of the Indian Ocean is generally warm temperatures above 28 degrees Celsius. But the Western Indian Ocean, the temperatures, the ocean surface temperatures are generally below 26 degrees Celsius. And that is a threshold temperature below which convection or formation of clouds does not happen easily. Now, this is all changing due to global warming. So I said Western Indian Ocean is generally cooler. So that is now changing. Western Indian Ocean is that region in the tropics where we have seen the fastest rates of warming. Temperatures there now reach 28 degrees Celsius, supporting enhanced convection and storm formation. So the cooler Western Indian Ocean, which didn't support active storms and convections earlier, have now started getting warmer. It has become a warm pool and enhanced convection has started over there. And this is what happened during the 2018-2019 period also. So generally these warm waters in the Western Indian Ocean has started triggering unseasonal storms in the deserts of East Africa. And heavy rains like this trigger the growth of vegetation in arid areas where desert locusts can then grow and breed. And these locusts then follow the winds and rains to in the Indo-Pak region early this year. They found greener pastures over North India as the pre-monsoon rains during March to May were also in excess. So that is what happened during this locust swarm, which started from the East Africa, Arabian Peninsula, which then traveled to North India and spread all over North India.
On that note, a number of scientists have also highlighted how artificial agriculture in generally dry desert grasslands has also played a role in the locust plagues. Patches of land in the dusty, barren Thar Desert, for example, have been getting much greener than they used to be in recent years. And that might actually be a really bad thing if these patches end up serving as a rest stop for these locusts to cover even greater distances than they could earlier.
Well, you know, locusts are known to fly very, very, very fast. You know, they can fly up to 100 kilometers, and I mean overnight. And so, you know, I'm not sure that they need to stop. Of course, they eat double their body weight on a single day. So we know that this does happen. Viable options. But I'm not sure that they necessarily need a patch of green to sit and eat. Having said that, I think what the scientists are saying is something very big and very important and very troubling. And the troubling part is that both in Ladakh and in the Thar Desert, there's been this unnecessary need to disrespect that local sparse ecology and to understand that there's a logic why a desert doesn't have trees or why Ladakh is so bare. But instead, we've been finding people planting and then celebrating and saying in Leh and Ladakh, saying that barish aa gayi fir, we had rains, we made it green. This is wrong. You've destroyed that ecology by planting trees. These things are not required in every ecosystem. There are multiple types of ecosystem, and certainly by doing things like that, we exacerbate our existing traumas like locusts.
Of course, because despite being a dry, barren land, a desert also has its own ecological structure and balance. Be it cacti, palms or others, there are certain vegetation which are native to it. And as such, they are probably essential parts of that balance. If these species are forcibly removed or other non-native trees and shrubs are planted there, they may even end up destroying the soil composition. And in the long term, even leach off its nutrients and more. That brings us to the end of this episode. We'll return soon with Ms. Chaturvedi and Dr. Cole to look at the long-term implications of this phenomenon and everything else we can expect in the years to come. What comes after the plague of locusts? Shall we be plunged into complete darkness like Egypt was? Or shall we find our deliverance? Stay tuned to find out. Until next time on Angry Earth, only on Earshot. When the ecology of an area is disturbed and forcibly changed, we not only destroy the ecosystem, we also invite Mother Nature's wrath. Her revenge comes sooner or later, whether through hurricanes and cyclones or through a plague of locusts. You will definitely sit up and take notice. This is Satyaki at Earshot. Welcome back to Plague of Locusts on Angry Earth with Ms. Bharti Chaturvedi and Dr. Roxy Matthew Cole. In our last episode, we discussed how the continued degradation of the environment and the buildup of warmer ocean waters played a huge role in 2020's biblical plague of locusts. But things aren't always as simple as they seem either. One of the biggest examples is the Thar Desert, or the Great Indian Desert. Ms. Chaturvedi, we were discussing how despite being a vast stretch of sandy, barren land, the Thar has gotten a lot greener than it used to be, at least comparatively. Forced agriculture like this not only destroys the delicate ecological balance of an area, it also disrupts the indigenous flora and fauna of the region, with far-reaching consequences for years to come.
Yeah, and also you take away homes. Now, if you go to the Thar Desert near Jaisalmer in February, you know, there are no palms anywhere. What you see is beautiful shrubs, grasses, which are literally holding, and these things are growing on these sand dune-like spaces. And you'll see these clusters of plantation, I mean, wild vegetation. And they're very thorny, and their leaves are very different. In late February, they're actually blossoming, so they look absolutely very beautiful. But they're very short, and they'll die away, and they won't be there. And they'll only come back around the sparse rainfall season, which will come later. And you'll see desert foxes and those kinds of animals. You'll see, you know, desert larks, which is actually very special to that area. In fact, this kind of ecology is home to one of the world's rarest birds, which is the Great Indian Bustard, which might actually go extinct because of its territory going away, as well as some poaching in other parts where it migrates. So deserts support an ecology which is devastated when you try to make that ecology kind of fit into your sense of what development is. And that is why you shouldn't be doing that kind of farming through any kind of irrigation. A desert is not a piece of land. A desert is an ecosystem.
Speaking of destruction though, despite now knowing the scientific reasons behind this plague, we still can't shake off this feeling of dread. It all still feels starkly apocalyptic. Dr. Cole, would you say this can get even worse? Could this be a harbinger of even worse things to come?
Yeah, it sounds quite apocalyptic, right? Yeah, with these locusts coming up all of a sudden and covering large areas. So our climate models indicate that the rapid warming in the Western Indian Ocean will continue further into the future, supporting more storms in the Western Indian Ocean region and East African region. So maybe the deserts are going to change. So will the locust swarms continue as well? The conditions are becoming favorable for locusts to breed in that vegetation. But at the same time, we know if there are continuous rains, like excessive rains can lead to the locust eggs getting rotten or washed away. But that's where inputs from biologists can help. So what right now I can tell is that these kind of storms are going to increase, which could be favorable for further locust swarms.
Now, coming to the larger short and long-term implications of these environmental changes beyond the damage and destruction to crops, what else can we expect? What else can we expect as a result of these phenomena? Ms. Chaturvedi, could you share some of your findings and observations?
So I think a couple of things. I think, first of all, we have to look at food security. Our food security, what happens is everywhere that these locusts went, what exactly places where large numbers of crops were growing, but there was some subsistence and that was destroyed. I think what was very What is also very terrible was that pesticides were used. Now, what happens with these pesticides is you have to use them because you're trying to get rid of those locusts. But then you're poisoning the entire area. People are exposed to those pesticides because they live there. Those pesticides have phenomenal long-term health impacts. Also, other kinds of food is impacted. Also, cattle, you know, your goats and so on. So I think we're looking at a longer-term cycle of toxicity. And I think we're also looking at swarms coming again and again. I don't think this is going to be the first time. Of course, it's been the worst in the last few decades. I think I've been reading this number of three decades, the worst in three decades. And I've also read that 2003 to 2005, there was a terrible locust swarm. And after that, this has been the one. So there are two sets of figures being given out. But I do believe that in the future, we'll have to learn about innovative ways of dealing with these locusts. For example, in Pakistan, they basically didn't, one district basically didn't allow any pesticides, and they got all the farmers to catch them, and then they converted them into high protein animal feed in the next district, which had such an industry running. And so we'll have to learn from each other and figure out what to do about these locusts, because you can't jolly well only throw pesticides at what is basically an outcome or at least hugely exacerbated by climate change. And I think changing crops would be one option, because locusts don't go on to every crop, and they certainly aren't so attracted to fruit and vegetables. And that might be actually something that we could begin to look at. Otherwise, we're going to see food insecurity, which will become chronic. I think there was this data that talked about how women and girls were really impacted because they couldn't, the farmers lost incomes, and consequently there was less money, kids dropped out of school, there was greater malnutrition, which was very gendered. And we can expect these kinds of things if we continue to see these kinds of gigantic swarms. Because remember that just in 1 square kilometer space, these locusts can eat as much food as 35,000 people can, within one day. So we should be worried about food insecurity, which has huge gendered impacts. And India already has a lot of concern in terms of gender equity. No matter what we do, we always have more to do. And we can't really allow locusts to frankly come in and exacerbate the concerns we already have and the inequity, the gender inequity that we are already experiencing. What has happened this time is we've been a little bit lucky because the phasal had already been cut, the crop had been harvested largely in Rajasthan. But that doesn't mean that every time we're going to be lucky. This could jolly well, I mean, if this whole thing had happened, say, right now in August, the food losses would be huge. So this time the food losses might not be so huge. But I think we do understand that this could have been much worse. It's just a matter of which part of the agricultural cycle do we get these locust plagues. And I think that is where we're going to have to be focusing on. And obviously monitoring and technology and information, just like it's really important for cyclones and it has saved thousands of lives, that same predictive technology and action and planning should be able to be rolled out for locusts.
Thank you, Ms. Chaturvedi. That brings me to my final question. Dr. Cole, could you tell us a little more about the steps being taken to improve these conditions right now? And what are we doing to prevent the ongoing issues from becoming worse in the years to come? What else can we be doing, maybe on an institutional level?
Yeah, so many of these regions around the Indian Ocean where these extreme events are happening, like storms and locust swarms and all, some of the countries have national climate change policy, like India has a climate change policy, but many of the countries do not have climate change policies. So the need of the hour is for implementing climate change policies in this region, but this is often told again and again, though it's the need of the hour. So I'm not going to repeat that here, but another aspect. So the Indian Ocean Rim hosts 1/3 of the world population, and as extremes rise, we need early warning systems in all these regions, including East Africa and South Asia. Many of these developing countries do not have, it has but vulnerable population. And efficient forecasts require efficient monitoring of the ocean as well. But we have gaps there. For example, the Somali region, if we take, and all in the all these regions in the Western Indian Ocean have been historically less observed. One reason is piracy. Now that piracy has gone down in the recent years, we should get ready to install observation networks there. That is one priority. The other is that the recent COVID-19 pandemic has also presented some dilemma. So the pandemic has severely limited our ability to maintain some of these Indian Ocean observing systems, which can help in understanding and monitoring these storms which have triggered these locust swarms. Maintenance of these observation networks have been limited because many of the research ship cruises that we had planned earlier has been postponed or cancelled. So we need to join all these missing dots, like gaps in observations, the COVID dilemmas, and address them so that we can monitor and address the commodity crisis happening over the Indian Ocean Rim.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Ms. Chaturvedi and Dr. Kohl, I would like to once again thank you both for joining us here on Earshot. It was a pleasure speaking to you. Well, thank you, both of you, once again for being a part of this. For more such interesting conversations about the many furies of Mother Earth this year, stay tuned for the next episode of Angry Earth, only on Earshot.